Well, one of the things I want to do, first of all, how many of you guys know Cindy Taylor? She's been really, really sick, you guys, and they're still trying to figure out what's going on with her. She has, I think on Tuesday, a four-hour CAT scan scheduled. They're just going to be checking her out really good. I mean, for 4 hours, I guess they will. But we need to lift her up in prayer this week, amen? So just remember on Tuesday that Cindy Taylor's going in for this CAT scan, and we just want to lift her up. We miss her, and we want to see her back at Harvest, amen? Back on track, last week we talked about from that day forward. We talked a little bit about it doesn't take much to get off track, that you still have a calling on your life, and that God will give you the anointing to do everything and all that he would ask you to do, and that you will have his spirit. His spirit will rush upon you, and you will have it from that day forward. Again, I just want to kind of go back over this one more time, that my heart through this series is to be able to confront any distractions, any addictions, excuses, or plans of the enemy against your life that might be causing us to derail or get off track. My heart for this series is also about seeing people find Jesus Christ and remember who he is in their lives. Maybe some that need to rededicate or renew their lives, helping us recognize that we might be off track in our lives and moving forward from 2020 into this amazing year and not allowing fear to attach itself, breaking chains of addiction, depression, hurt, and loneliness. Give me an amen. I wanted to find something very quickly, and it has to do with wrestling, okay? To define wrestle is to take part in a fight, either as sport or in earnest, that involves grappling with one's opponent and trying to throw or force them to the ground. Another, a little bit deeper with that, is to struggle with a difficulty or problem. Now, there's different types of wrestling. Seen many movies, many TV shows where you'll see two people wrestling for a gun, trying to get that gun out of their hand. Or then you'll see there's life applications, things that where you see wrestling, where you see police officers or just beautiful human beings wrestling somebody off of a bridge or a building to keep them from taking their lives. There's also wrestling somebody to restrain them till they settle down. Has anybody ever had to do that? Hold somebody? All three of my kids, I had to wrestle them down at one point just to get them to kind of settle down when they were little guys. But there's been other times, too, that in life, there's been people that you just hold until they relax. Then there's the sport of wrestling, which we've already talked about, where you wrestle for titles, to be the champion of that weight class and to win for the school, to get the most points at the end of it. Wrestling to show dominance. And then there's wrestling for the fun of it. Now, guys, how many of us understand that wrestling for the fun of it most of the times ends in a fight? My brother and I don't think that there's enough numbers in the galaxy to count how many times me and him wrestled in our life. And we wrestled all the time, and they most of the time ended in a fight. One time, my brother and I were wrestling. I think I was about 12 or 13 years old, and something happened. I lost my balance, and I fell back into his closet. Well, when I hit the back wall, all the clothes fell on top of me. Well, while the clothes are covering me, he just starts kind of punching through the clothes, you know, and just taking liberty, and I come shoot. Anyway, it turned into a fight. So today I want to talk about when you wrestle with God. Now, of course, we're going to be reading that amazing chapter in Genesis chapter 32, talking about the story of Jacob having this encounter with God. But I want to give you just a little bit of I encourage you to make sure that you go home this week and maybe even read chapter 31. Look at what happens where Jacob is bringing his family out from under Laban. Laban comes, there's this huge altercation that takes place and all that, but at the end, they end up making a peace treaty where Laban promises never to go against him and Jacob not to ever go against him, and now Jacob is on his way back to the land of Canaan. He's going back to where God has called him to. Now, we're going to be skipping through chapter 32, but we're going to start here in verse 1, and it says this, that Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And so he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Mahanaim talks about this is where God met them. Genesis 32, 6 and 7, skipping a little bit further, it says, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau. He is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him.'" And it says that then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Skipping to verse 11, he cries out to God, "Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And then skipping to verse 22, "The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed.' And then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.'" Can we just say praise God for the word of the Lord this morning? Okay, so here we go. So here's what we've read. God's angels meet Jacob on his way back to Canaan. Jacob's messengers come back with a report of Esau coming, and he's coming with his 400. Jacob became greatly afraid. In fact, in my Bible that I was studying it out of this week, it's the Fire Bible, on the right above chapter 32, it just basically says this: Jacob fears Esau. So he's in a place of fear. Jacob cries out to God for help. He says, "Please deliver me." And then God meets with Jacob alone, and Jacob wrestles with God. Now, guys, Jacob, up until his physical encounter with God, is 100% operating from a place of fear. He's making plans to try to stay alive. He's creating plans of escape. In fact, he has one plan where he sets up a camp, and if Esau attacks and kills all those people, that his camp will be able to escape. He's using other people, animals, as buffers between him and Esau. And everything in the reports that come back to Jacob are making him even more crazy. And now fear is beginning to come in and take over his faith. If we are truly desiring to get back on track, fear cannot be the conductor of this train. We cannot move forward stuck in a place of fear and confusion. So here are some thoughts regarding getting back on track through the story of Jacob's encounter with God. And the first thought is this: God will meet you wherever you are. Genesis 32:1-2, let's just look at it one more time. "Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' So he called the name of that place Mahanaim." I think it's very important for all of us to understand regarding the desire to get back on track in our lives is that with every person that is in this room this morning, and for those that will be online later, we all come from different circumstances and things that we need God to meet us in. Amen? We've brought different things in here. And it doesn't take much to lose our way or to get off track. Losing our way isn't always defined by rebelling for years. Is everybody with me on that? That's not always the definition of it. It can happen overnight. It can be one bad decision. In fact, if you look back on times where we went through some difficult times that we brought on ourselves, it usually comes around one bad decision that we made. And then now we're having to kind of live through it. But our God will be there every step of the way, no matter where you are coming from. No matter what God is calling you to, God will meet you where you are. Okay, back in 2016, I was turning 50 that summer. So I had been working out since April I had finished up P90X3, and I was moving into Tony Horton's new release. He had something called the 22-minute hardcore, spelled C-O-R-P-S. And so it had some military exercises in it, and so I was working out and all that kind of stuff. So I'm getting closer to my birthday in August. And how many of you guys, first of all, in CrossFit have ever heard of anything called the Filthy 50? The 50-50 is a list of 10 exercises that you do 50 reps and you do it for time, as fast as you can do it. 50 pull-ups, 50 push-ups, 50 box jumps, 50 burpees. 50, I mean, it just goes on and on and on, but you do 10 of these and you do it for time. So if it takes you 30 minutes to do it the first time, you want to just try to do it in 29 the next time. Well, I didn't want to do the 50-50 for my birthday. I'm not stupid. But I decided I'm going to do 50 box jumps. And I want to do 50 box jumps, and I have a box jump that's the CrossFit thing that's it's made by Rogue, and when you lay it on its side, it's either 24 inches, or if you flip it up on its end, it goes to 30, and then if you stick it up on its head, it goes to 36 inches. Well, I decide I want to do 50 box jumps, 36 inches, and I want to try to do it under 3 minutes. Okay, yeah, thank you. First of all, that was my 25-year-old Matt thinking up here, trying to tell my 50-year-old Matt that you can do this, right? So I get out there, and I start doing these boxes. I'm going to show you a video in just a second. And I start doing them, and I'm blasting through it, man. I think I'm just making headway. I'm way ahead. I'm thinking in my head. All of a sudden, I look over at the clock, and I see my 3 minutes are almost up, and I'm just at rep 30. And I'm standing on top of the box. Go ahead and show this video. I'm standing on top of this box, and I'm dying. I'm like, what did you do? And I'm like, well, I'm going to complete, and you can see I'm taxed. I'm just trying to kind of get through these things. Guys, I ended up doing the 50, but it took me like 8 minutes. But guess what? I paid for that thing for a week after. I mean, I was dying, you guys. Listen, I had been working out. I had been doing cardio. I had even been doing some box jumps, but I had never tried doing 50 box jumps in 3 minutes. I had the best of intentions, but I wasn't exactly where I needed to be physically to meet my goal. And when things are going pretty good for us spiritually, we just assume that if God has called us to do this, that things are just going to line up perfectly. That everybody's going to be excited about what God wants us to do. That everything is going to go smooth from beginning to end. But see, God isn't expecting us to immediately to be able to do spiritually 50 box jumps. God knows where you are in his journey. He just wants your yes. He just wants you to get back on track and start working toward fulfilling his call on your life. He knows exactly where you are physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He is a patient God. Give me an amen for that. He is a loving God, and he will help you get your life back on track. Now, I want to make sure that I say this, and I don't want anybody to get offended, and I mean this from my heart, but it is very easy sometimes for a minister or a conference speaker or a leader in a church that's delivering a message to the church, and when they say, you just got to get your life back on track. You got to take a moment and step out on faith, or it's time to answer your calling. Guys, last week, the altars were full of people coming down to talk to God about a calling or an anointing or having his spirit come upon them. And here's the thing, though, is that what we don't think. It's simple to say it, but for some of us, when it's done here, we have to go back to a home where we don't have the support that we have right here. We have people in our church that when they leave here, they go back to somewhere where it's hostile spiritually. It's not easy for them. Then in here, and they're going back to a place where things are still broken. We have to understand that the same God who met us at the altar wants to meet us in the places where things are broken. He wants to meet you where you are. We have to understand this. And in your greatest time of need, God is there. In the darkest time of your life, God wants to bring light. If you are full of questions, our God is the answer. When you are sick of being sick, Jesus Christ is your healer. If you are lacking, and when I say lacking anything, he will give you everything that you will need. When you experience victory, he is celebrating you. Wherever you are, wherever you will be in your future, God is going to meet you there. Amen. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And here's the second thought. Looking at the story of Jacob and his encounter with God is that fear is never, everybody say never, a part of God's plan for your life. Let's look at the scriptures one more time. Verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau. He's coming to meet you. And there are 400 men with him. And then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Verse 11, he says, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack the mothers with the children. But look, guys, this is what he says. He goes, but you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. You see, the first thing that the enemy is going to attack you and your family with is fear. I don't know if some people can be honest with us sometimes, but when God puts a calling on your life or an anointing and we do get up from the altar and we get into our car, it's usually what hits us. It might not be a fear where you're shaking in your boots or that you're saying that you fear the enemy or anything, but there's a fear in there because what happens is for some of us, God has called us to do this, and then a week goes by. And then 2 weeks goes by, and then a month goes by, and then 6 months, and then all of a sudden, it's just like there was never a calling on your life. The moment you step away from that encounter with God, the devil will be waiting to fill your heart and your head with a spirit of fear. So what do we see in the story of Jacob? Yes, he is being completely consumed with fear, but he calls out to the Lord for help and deliverance. He says, please help me. And then he opens up his mouth, and I love this portion of the scripture, and he stands on the word of the Lord. Guys, this is what I said to you last week. What did God say? What did God say to you? What was the calling that he put on your life? Because here's what Jacob says. He goes, but you said, amen? It's not what your husband or your wife, your family, your friends, your coworkers, what did God say to you? You see, in that scripture, he says, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea. Just a couple of chapters before, God said this to him in 28:14, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Jacob declares, he takes ownership of God's promises. I would even say this, you need to pay attention to the ifs in the Bible. Look at these. Here we are in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Matthew 17:20, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Proverbs 2:1-5, if you receive my words, if you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth. Deuteronomy 28:13, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord. If you will only get back on track. Amen? Back on track. If you really want to think about what does it mean, what are we defining here? Well, back on track is this. Something has stopped in your life that used to make you move. Something has created hurt where love used to flow freely. Something has brought questions where faith used to abound. If we recognize the need to have to get back on track, that means somewhere, something took our focus. I was associate pastoring out in Northern California, and my father needed me to pick up something for him. So he just goes, take my car, Matt, and he threw me his keys. He had a really kind of cool black Audi, and I was like, man, no problem, Dad, you know. And so I go get in his car, and I'm walking down the side of the gym. I come around, I see my dad's car, and I go and unlock it, and I get in, and the car won't start. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? And then all of a sudden, I hear somebody go, excuse me. And guys, listen, I don't know if you know what I mean, where have you ever had a lady look at you through the top of her eyes? That's where they drop their chin, and they're like, I know you, shame, you know, that type of deal, you know, and she's looking at me, and she's got her back up against the door, and I go, quickly realize I'm not in my dad's car. And I go, and she's about 5 seconds from giving me a slap. You know what I mean? And so I look at her. I go, I start laughing. I go, I'm so sorry. I go, that's my dad's car right there. I go, I got in. And she kind of like giggles, laughs, like it's like get out of my car. But she says it's okay. Guys, listen. It was parked in the front of the gym. It's a sports car. It's a black sports car, but it was the wrong car. If you will pay attention to what God is doing, if you'll pay attention and start looking around, what is it that's going on right now? Is it fear that's attacking me? Is that what's taking me away from what the Lord wants me to do? Guys, listen, I was watching a show, and I wasn't even going to share this, but I'm going to do it. I was watching a show, and I went into the kitchen to get something, and it's in the toaster or whatever was going on, and I'm trying to watch the movie and not lose my track, and all of a sudden, I get an itch on my back. I can't reach it. So I've opened a drawer, and there's, you guys ever seen those meat forks? They're kind of wider and longer, you know? And so I grab it outside my shirt, don't worry, and I went to go around, and I'm not paying attention, and I stuck the fork right into the side of my head. Full force. This just happened a couple months ago. In fact, it still hurts when I push on it. Guys, I saw purple. I hit myself so hard, and blood just starts running down the side of my head. I wasn't paying attention. Sometimes we just have to fight the noise, you guys, because God is still there. Amen? He's still there. What is in your atmosphere? What are we allowing? What influence or authority is in our atmosphere that is not of the Holy Spirit? It doesn't matter how it might look. Jacob was seeing a brother who he feared coming with his 400 men. But he says this, God, but you said. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Come on, let's say that together with our mouths. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. What does it say? Wherever you go. He wants to be there, not just in the good times, but in the middle of your mess. God wants to be there. God's calling has not changed. The plan to help you get back on track has not been altered. Fear is no longer welcome in your life or in this body of believers. In the name of Jesus, fear, you are not welcome. Fear has to go in the name of Jesus. And here's the third and final thought. And the thought is this: grab hold of God, and whatever you do, do not let go. Grab hold of God and do not let go. Genesis 32, starting with verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Why would God allow anybody to wrestle with him? The first thing that I want you to catch in this scripture, and you may never have looked at this before, is this. It was God that pursued Jacob. Jacob had just sent his family across. He's still on the other side of this water, and he is full of fear. He's not going anywhere. God pursues him. God was the initiator of this wrestling match. To wrestle with God, it's going to require you to get close to him. Some of us in this room need to have a good wrestling it out with God, but it's going to require you to get close to him. This is a one-on-one encounter. Sometimes there are things in this life that we cannot make happen on our own. And sometimes we just need to wrestle this out with the Lord. I need your help, God. I want to get back on track. I've got questions and I need some answers. Why did this happen? God, I'm believing for my family and my kids. Please help me with my finances, with my addiction. I will not let you go until you bless me. This is too important. I am not letting you go until you bless me. Jacob's full of fear. All he can see is death. This is where I'm going to die, and this is where I'm going to be buried. Last week, I brought up real quickly, I was talking about how the enemy kind of wanted to bury our calling in 2020. And I want to look at just the idea of being buried, why we bury things. And the first one is this: we bury things because we're hiding something. Okay? Something that's buried is hiding. What is the enemy, listen to what I'm saying here, what is the enemy wanting you to hide carrying it into this new year? What is the enemy wanting to, and the second thought is that being buried is to forget. The enemy wants you to forget, to bury things that need to be dealt with and bury what used to be beautiful between you and the Lord. And then another way of looking at buried is it's just a symbolism of it's over. It's dead. What lies has the enemy put in your head to make you think that God isn't paying attention to you anymore? God stands ready to figure this out with Harvest Church, amen? He stands ready to figure this out with you as individuals. When you wrestle with God, the very fact that he allows us to wrestle with him shows us how much he loves us. Verse 27, and he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob is the holder of the heel. It means to be behind. His name meant supplanter, deceiver. In some translations and studies, it says that it means to betray. But now his name is to be Israel, which is God contends, or the one who struggles with God. And it shows that God has a great plan for our lives, amen? One moment you can be in fear, you're not moving, you're sending other things out instead of yourself, but then God comes, you have a wrestling time with him, you wrestle it out, and God reminds you that he has great plans for your life. Keep pressing into him. Keep pursuing his presence. Keep looking for the one-on-one encounters, amen? And do not let go until he blesses you. Do not let go until God blesses you. I'd like the worship team to come on up. And we're going to wrap this thing up. If and when we ever do get in a time where God, you know, I need to wrestle something out with you. I need you to struggle through this with me. What it shows is that you're at a place of desperation. It shows that it is important to you and to God. That you want to change bad enough that you're not willing to let go. It shows relationship. It shows that you recognize who actually has the power to get you back on track. Can I get an amen? When you wrestle with God, things will never be the same. Jacob had one encounter with God, and for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. Everybody knew he had had an encounter with God, and Jacob himself that knew that life would never be the same. I had a buddy that I played basketball with in college. His name was Daryl Butts. I'm going to put a picture up here of him for you, and he's just a good friend of mine. He came in my junior year through my senior year, and we just very quickly became fast friends. But we competed in everything. We three-point contests, dunk contests, 40-yard dashes, who could eat the fastest or who could eat the most. But we also wrestled. The first wrestling match took place in my dorm room. And he came in and we said something smart to each other or something like that, and he grabbed a hold of me. And the next thing you know, we've knocked everything over in my room. In fact, I had just peeled a fresh orange, and the orange peelings went all over the floor, and this is what started the whole thing for the rest of the wrestling matches. I got him pinned down to where he couldn't move, and I reached down and grabbed those orange peels and rubbed them in his mouth. So whenever he got me pinned, he would be looking. One time he tried to put a sock in my mouth. There was all kinds of stuff. We would get going on that. Well, he comes to visit me in San Diego when I'm youth pastor. And we're just right back where we were, just friends, loving each other, man, just having a great time. Went to the Chargers game. And even at the Chargers game, we raced each other twice, a 40-yard dash. He won the first one, and I won the second one. We just competed. And then one day, we're just sitting there talking, and Lori, out of nowhere, just goes, we were kind of bantering back and forth, and Lori just goes, Daryl, I want to see you wrestle Matt. And I looked at her, I was like, what are you doing? And before I could even think, Daryl is on me. And we have knocked everything off my dining table. We flipped our couch, knocked the lamps over. I mean, everything is, we wrestled and wrestled. And guys, listen, I got him over to one place and I looked down and we had knocked over a bag of chips and I had him down. And guess what was coming? I reached down and I crunched up some of those chips and I just rubbed them in his mouth, you know? and he was yelling, don't do it. You know, anyway, we get up and we're surveying the room after. Okay? The damage. Guys, here's the thought. Now, guys, check this out. And I have a question for you. Would it be worth it to you to wrestle with God knowing things will get knocked around, things will be brought to the surface, that doors are going to be kicked open that have not been opened in a long time? Would it be worth it to you if God could, if you could have a true God-given peace in your life? If you could see things clearly for the first time in over a year, would it be worth it to you if fear could be eliminated from your life? That you could see loved ones come back to Christ, that you could see healings happening where healing is needed. If God could change your situation immediately, if you could beat addiction, would it be worth it to you to wrestle with God if you could finally just get back on track to what God has called you to do? No more torment of the heart. No more tormenting of the mind. No more tormenting of the situations that you are standing in. God will meet you where you are. When you wrestle with God, guys, listen to this, and I'm going to keep repeating it. You will be blessed, you will experience favor, and you will have direction and anointing. But my advice is this, do not let go. Do not let go. I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but do not let go until God blesses you. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for every individual that is here this morning that just was able to take in the scriptures that were read, to listen to some of the thoughts that were shared. But Lord, I just pray that even as they've been sitting there and you've been talking to them, that God, they have some things they need to bring to you. Maybe some of us, God, we buried some things. Lord, maybe some of us have tried to bring something that we're not supposed to be holding on to anymore, and we're trying to bring it into 2021, and you're wanting us to let go. In fact, you're wanting to wrestle it out of our hands. Father, for some of us, we need healing. For some of us, we're still looking for some answers, whatever that looks like. And God, for some of us, we're just in a place of fear. And God, we're asking you, and I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal to me, to reveal to these beautiful people, this body, what is it that we need from you? And God, I'm asking you just to have your Holy Spirit come in and encourage us to come find you and wrestle this thing out. And Father God, I pray, dear Lord, that as we do this, if you'll allow us, that we will hold on to you and not let go until you have blessed us, until you have given us favor and you have released us. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you just say, Pastor Matt, this message is for me. I have fear in my life, or I have some things that I need to just deal with God, and I need a one-on-one encounter with him. If that's you, without hesitation, just stand where you are. You don't have to come down front. Just stand where you are. Grab the hand of somebody next to you if you want to for support, but just stand where you are. And God, these that have stood, even now, as they made the decision to stand, your Holy Spirit has already rushed to them. Father God, that these that have stood, dear Lord, they need your help. They need to have an encounter with you, and they're willing to hold on until you bless them. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, all these men and women and students that are standing, that here right now, that your presence is already in this place. We couldn't hardly get through our announcements, Lord. You're here. So touch them in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands, everybody in this room, everybody, even with these that are standing, lift your hands. God, we lift our hands because we want you here. Lord, we want to wrestle this thing out. Lord, we need to have an encounter with you that changes things, that allows us to get back on track. In the name of Jesus, anoint them from the top of where their hands are to their head, to the soles of their feet with your Holy Spirit. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Holding on to the name of Jesus until you bless us, God. We want to live in your blessings. We do not want to live in the curse. And we thank you for who you are in our lives, and we give you all praise. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's all stand. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.